Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I have to keep saying it because, you know, I got to find out if everything is working for you and for me this morning. Hello. Hi. Good morning. And welcome to the Global Vision for Living today. You know, so many of you are worried about world events and what's happening, and you're not sure if there's anything you can do. But I want to let you know, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're thinking about, and no matter what you're hearing, no matter who's doing what, it is still one nation under God for every man in our universe. I'm going to say that again. One nation under God for every man. And, of course, that means every woman. You know, there's been a problem brewing amongst us. Men have taken their stand. There's no more remorse or fear. There is no retreat in sight. And we see there will only be one winner. Who or what will that be? You see men everywhere, brazen as can be. I just read this morning where there's going to be a decree in the land. I know most of you might remember Cyrus the king. That's in the biblical days. He said, I'm going to send my prophet, and he's going to give my decree all over the land. Guess what that decree is? Anybody in America that can be identified as a rioter or a looter or a troublemaker, federal benefits will be cut off permanently. You can't run back next month and say, oh, I was out of town, you know, I was bedridden, I was sick, I was wounded, I was weary, and I didn't get my check. Nothing was directly deposited. I didn't get anything in the mail. I didn't get anything from anywhere at all. Guess what? Your federal benefits will be cut off, and we all know the states in America will follow suit. Isn't that something? People are scratching their head. How can something like this happen? This is where we're at. So there is a problem brewing amongst us, and people are lining up on the sidelines against the creator of the universe. Well, you might say, oh, I don't see that. How would that be happening? Who could do that? I don't believe that. I tell you what, guess what? Believe it. You might not see the brick wall, but by our and some of our friends' behavior, it shows what side we are on. But we can never forget that it really is one nation under God. And whether we buck, fist fight, curse God and die, which is what was told to Job centuries ago, whatever we want to do to show whether or not we're the strong man, we're the strong one, that is going to cause us to want to live our life like we want to. There's only one God of the universe. There's several. There are many gods. Paul said there's many. But right now, there's only one who has identified himself in the book of Psalms. So right now, one nation under God. What could that really mean? We have Colonel Harrison on the line with us this morning, and he's going to give us some insight. You know, he's been with us for over a year and what have. And he's just such a marvel. He's what I call, I call him one of the wise men. And I'm really calling him that. I saw him yesterday with a beard on our Zoom conference. So with that beard, he qualifies as a triple wise man. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Dr. Capitina. Good morning to you and your listening audience, and it's a pleasure to be on the line with you all again.
One nation under God, indefensible, and supposedly with liberty for all. One nation under God. How should we react to that statement, Colonel Harrison, in light of everything that's going on in America, and really, we might as well just say in our world?
My understanding, thanks, Dr. Coppentino, it's my understanding when that preamble was framed, and I believe that's the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, when it was framed by the early writers of the Declaration of Independence back in the 1700s, mid-1700s, it was their intention that people who were born American citizens or naturalized American citizens would become one as a people, a pluribus unum, Latin, which means one for all and all for one. Wanted this nation to be one because it was built upon Christian Judeo principles, meaning the original Judaism religious beliefs of the ancient Israelites, the ancient Jews and modern-day Jews and so forth. So, and out of that came Christianity. So the idea of oneness is that we be one as a people, we be unified as a people, we be endeared to one another, we be concerned about each other's welfare. Our ancestors came from different countries, different cultural backgrounds, and so forth and so on different ships, going back to around 1892, Ellis Island, in the Hudson Bay of New York City. But they were assimilated into America and with New York, and that's why New York has so many different cultures and so many different nationalities there. So the point I'm trying to make about oneness is we are still one as a people, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, freedom for all, justice for all, oneness for all, and love for all. So I just want to add the component of love. And without that, we will not survive. We will not be that one nation that this nation was built upon that has hope and prosperity and expectations for people coming from all shores abroad.
How do you think that's affecting the chaos and the just that thought, just what you said? How do you think it's affecting the world at large? You know, there's chaos in the streets. There's a lot of what I would call civil unrest, even from the home. From the home inside to the outside. I mean, there's a lot of reported and unreported crimes, and even deaths that have caused men and women to look out and say, ugh, I don't feel good about this. Something is wrong. You know, I've lived 30, 40, 50 years, and I've never seen anything like this. I don't think it's a chance for America to go on like this. People are actually living in fear. They are stooped in fear. Some are saying COVID-19 or no COVID-19. The hell with it. I'm not going out until I think I'm safe. I mean, how do you explain how people are feeling right now based on this a one nation under God alliance?
There's been a breach in the gap. The breach is that the oneness is not what it should be, what it ought to be, and what was originally constructed to be in the Declaration of Independence. So now we have a situation where we are a divided nation. The holy writ that I subscribe to, the Holy Bible, says a house divided against itself cannot stand. This nation is divided against itself by different factions, different races, different cultures, and therefore we are not one anymore. We can live together as one if we choose, if we desire, and if we seek to do so. But if we choose not, then the absence of peace is chaos. so we have chaos. If we live together as one, we can live in peace. We don't live together as one, we're going to have chaos. So we have chaos, and chaos is in the land because there's no commonality among the different nationalities, cultures, and backgrounds that people of the United States have or make up. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're divided, and we're divided because we're moved away from being concerned about the welfare of each other. We only can come together the same as a family. A family is one unit. That as long as everyone in that family is loving each other, helping each other, encouraging one another, and supporting each other, that family remains one unit. If any member of that family decide that they're going to go against the grain, then that family is no longer a unit. That family becomes fragmented. That family falls apart because of the confusion, the disruption, and the interruption. And so that's what we're having in this country. We got to get back to those basic principles and tenets that define us all. We, the people, plural, we. It doesn't say race. It doesn't say culture. It doesn't say background. It doesn't say educational ability. It says we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, meaning this country, we have to be united as one. I'll pause again for a moment.
Yes, we have to be united, but studies and statistics are showing that's not going to happen. Battle lines are drawn. This is an election year, so of course there's more hatred than usual floating around on the wires and neighborhoods, communities. You have actual battleground states that are threatening others with what might and what may not happen if they don't vote a certain way. You have people saying that if this state votes like this, we're going to go in and burn it down. You have people saying if this particular one ends up in that Oval Office, we're going to burn it down. I've never heard people so revolutionary state that, you know, I'm going to burn the White House down. I've never heard that. And, of course, I'm sure others may raise their brows, too. But there's some underlying current that is out here on the streets and in our cities and in our states fomenting world-sized chaos and hatred. Is there any reason to believe that this is going to subside anytime soon? I said this is an election year. You have COVID disease, invisible disease still stalking. You have people that are, in fact, I read this morning, that are in for rude awakening. It says by the end of 2020, 40 million will be homeless. They said 40 million people will be homeless. This is the NPR, which is a great news service. And they said it's because, you know, they listened to individuals in office that said, don't pay your rent. Forget it. Don't pay your house. No, forget that. Don't do anything that has to do with monies coming out of your pocket for this sheltering over your head. Don't do it. There's too much going on here in the world, and the money is funny. Cities are struggling with their financial budgets. Don't pay anything. Don't pay your rent. 40 million will be homeless by Christmas. Now, that's not sounding too good to me because almost 90,000 is still laying around on the floors and back alleys and on sidewalks here in our state of California. A lot of that has been addressed by our local leaders, but, you know, this homelessness is running so rampant, it's almost impossible to catch. So with that being said, how can anyone, any group, any sect expect anything good anytime soon, especially if we're saying we're really one nation under God? Is there a force? Is there some superpower? Is there some power at all that we should be running to rather than fighting God versus man? That just is not, doesn't sound good to me. Can we fight a power while we're dying up under the power? Can we fight a power that might be invisible to us, that appear, definitely is stronger than us? Can we fight the power continually? Fight the power. Fight instructions for humanity, for human living, with one hand behind our back, our eyes closed and our stomachs empty. Can we do that? Should we even try?
I'll answer you this way, Dr. Coppins. This nation is bigger, it's greater, and it can be better again than any public elected official, whether it's at the national level, state level, or county, cities, or towns. This nation is bigger than whoever may be elected as President of the United States. President of the United States can only constitutionally serve 2 4-year terms, 2 consecutive 4-year terms. So whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, or independent, this nation, the people in the nation, the people make up the nation, is greater than the Oval Office, whoever is in the Oval Office. We got to be reminded that this nation was not built upon the presidency of the United States, of public officials. It was built upon people coming from abroad, from European countries and other countries, and the native Indians were here, and indigenous people were here. And those that came from abroad, the Europeans and others, commingled with the native Indians and indigenous people that were here, and they learned how to farm and grow corn and wheat and other things of that nature, and they formed a bond and they unified and they became one and they survived. And so the Constitution was written so that the people of the United States would have power to choose their elected officials, not the elected officials dictate to the people what we are to do and how we are to live. So now that we have chaos and now that the political system is in turmoil, that's why the people are marching in the streets. They're in turmoil because the leadership, whoever the leader is, whoever it is, whether it's Democrat or Republican, whoever the leader is, when there's chaos at the top, at the leadership, there's going to be chaos among the people. I'm reminded of the days of the ancient Israelites. Whenever Israel had kings that were godly kings, the people prospered. And when they had evil kings, the people suffered. So we have chaos, and we got to look beyond whoever's in, whoever will get elected with 60 some days, and look beyond that, and we got to start looking to whom I believe is the only person that can straighten this out, which is a supernatural spirit to being. His name is Jehovah, Jehovah God. So man and woman has to return to God so God can straighten this out, because he created heaven and earth and everything that dwells therein. And without God, there's going to be a difficulty for any and each and every one of us trying to find peace again, trying to find happiness, trying to find tranquility, trying to find our way, because obviously it's out of control. Can't depend on public officials now, so I'm looking into the hills from what's coming to my help. I'm looking unto God for direction, leadership, and guidance to turn this thing around.
Wow, that sounds powerful. I'm looking to him too. If you're looking to him, I'm looking straight to him as well. But you see, we got a little problem here. 1 and 1 = 2. We got a little problem. The scripture says that the whole world, a.k.a. world, universe, the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. So that leads me to believe that, the whole world is lying in the grips of evil intentions, and of course, an evil way of thinking. You're not going to be up under any spirit's power unless your mind allows you to be up under that power. And I believe that's why Paul said, above all things, think on these things: goodness, kindness, love. And he went on naming attributes that every human being should not only possess, but that they should live under. So since I believe that scripture, I believe in 1 John, the whole world laying in the paw of the wicked one. And here are two people, hopefully there's more, saying, you know what, it ain't going down like that. I'm cashing my chips in under the auspices of the one and only true God of the universe, and he has been identified. I don't think other people that recognize that there's just one nation under God would think any other way, but some of the steps that one might take to look up and look beyond themselves in order to find out more about this invisible being, the one that said he created the heaven and the earth. How might they get in contact with a powerful super being like that rather than try to go up against that guy? They are not going to win. The psalmist said 70 or 80 with special mightiness, they are not going to win. You go to the hospital parking lot and you got to circle 1,000 times before you can find parking to get in. They are not built to win. They are not. That we are not built to win against a superpower like that. That says you need to look to the hill for which cometh your help. What are some of the ways that a person think on and do perform to get closer to a superpower like that?
I can pursue or reference or read the Holy Bible. There are other references on the internet, outlines, commentaries, plenty of information that is available. And I just want to say this. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan that presently exists, and there's the kingdom of God.
Oh, that's scary.
It is written. Yes, there are two kingdoms, two kingdoms, two principalities. The kingdom of Satan is the ruler of darkness and the prince of this world. Stated by the Tapentina. The kingdom of God is yet to come. It will be ushered in at a appointed time when God sees fit to do so. God has given man, woman, and child free will to choose who we want to serve, whether we want to serve the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. Free will. What is free will? Free will is my innate, my human ability through my senses and my faculties to be able to decide what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, where I want to go. Who I want to serve, who I want to visit, who I will embrace, who I will not embrace. We are super intelligent human beings made in the image and likeness of the true and living, invisible, intelligent God. So we have the ability to decide, to choose. And Joshua wrote in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether you serve the God of the fathers that worship the idol gods, or you're going to serve the one God, the true and living, back to the oneness again. So we have a choice, but there's the Bible, there's the Torah, the Jewish book, the conventional Holy Bible, there's the Septuagint, which is the Greek Bible. So many references people can use and they can find and seek, and they will find who the true and living invisible God is, and then they can decide whom they want to serve, whether they want to continue to tarry and just trying to get by, get along just to get along. It is what it is. This world is dying. This world is Satan. This world is decaying. People turn against each other. It's Bible prophecy. But we have a way out. We have to choose. Choose the right way. Choose the only way. Choose the one and true living God, God Jehovah. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
You know, that is really revealing, because I know growing up in the church community, you heard that every week. God is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, God. Our God is a way maker. God this, God this, and that. And with some of the churches closing, that's something that we actually hear. But hearing it now, you know, it is astounding. People really have got to wake up and say, this day, like Joshua said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And you can tell which way that they're chosen by their behavior. Is there any other way? We just heard you say that this creator God, Jesus and his son, Jesus, said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Ooh, wow. Triple wow. What a bold statement, but of course it is true. How can people get to know that they know that they know? As my dad used to say, how can they get to know this God and know him through his son? I know him through the resurrection power. How can they get to know him?
When I seek him, they have to search for him, and they can find him. We can find him in the Holy Bible. We can find him in the Torah. We can find him in the Septuagint. We can find him in those holy books. And we can find him in our neighborhood with people who have already connected, who have already accepted God's Son, Jesus Christ, as the personal Lord and Savior. We can attach on him. And even though some churches are closing, the temple of God is within man, woman, and child. But we still can attach ourselves to people who can show us the way, who can lead us, guide and direct us, and can witness to us and minister to us so that we have become knowledge in the understanding of the way we are to live our lives rather than to perish. So that's what I suggest. One, attach themselves to one in their family, within their community, those who are still working, wherever, and you will get to know who the true and living God is, because he exists today. He's invisible, but he exists today, and his home is in the third heaven, which is above this earth.
Well, what is the reward? What should a person expect to get if he throws in the towel and says, you know what, for God I live and for God I die? I'm not going to fight against this God. I'm not going to get out there and get ahead of him and make a mockery out of the world he created. What can a person really expect in their life to happen once they reach out and touch the spirit of this living creator?
Excellent question, Doc. Just a couple minutes to answer. There's physical life and there's eternal life. We're living in the physical realm where we are an embodiment of physical life. Only promised in the Bible by God to live 70, 80 years, some will live beyond that. The eternal reward for those who accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior is eternal life in the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom without end, the eternal kingdom. There will be, at a point in time, God decide a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. There's a physical death, but that's temporary. Then those who are God will be in the new kingdom. Then there's a second death for those who choose not to exercise their free will and accept Jesus Christ, the personal Lord and Savior. They will accept, they will endure the second death, which is the eternal damnation in the lake of fire, which present day we call hell. So we either can choose to spend eternity with God in heaven or spend eternity in hell with Satan and the demons. That's what it comes down to. It's in Revelation chapter 20 and chapter 21 of the Bible.
Well, I tell you what, I don't want to be on the other side of that God. And especially that one, you know, they call Satan the God. I don't want to be on the other side of the true and the living God. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today show. Our topic was One Nation Under God for Every Man That So Chooses. Tune in next Saturday. We got a lot to say. We got a lot of things coming up by the end of this year, and you are invited, and you're certainly going to be included. God bless you. Have a great weekend.